Hello, and welcome back to the Living Truth Ministries podcast. It's a lovely day to continue the teaching of this series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I'm your host, Stacy Cagwin, and today's lesson is entitled Ambushing the Enemy, the second part of a two-part lesson. Today, we will learn when, where, and how to worship God, how to reverse any curse on your life, and how that praising God literally spoils the curse of the enemy. Last week, we learned about praise and worship, and that when Jehoshaphat was about to be attacked, God commanded him to praise and worship. And because of their obedience, God had destroyed the enemy without Jehoshaphat and his people raising a single sword. We also learned that faith is a fact, but also requires an act. It is not passive, it is acting on God's word and promises. Most importantly, we learned that we are to worship in truth and spirit. We learn God's truth by spending time learning His word, and when we worship God in spirit, the truth must be in us. Now, let's give God glory in spirit and truth as I declare this proclamation from Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When, where, and how to worship. The Bible indicates that we are to worship God daily, continually, after a special manifestation of the Lord, when granted favor by man, and upon receipt of promises from God. It is especially important to praise God in times of crisis. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Psalm 27:5. The Bible directs us to praise God corporally in the church, in our homes, in the presence of unbelievers, and before the nations of the world. Praise and worship in the Bible was reverent at times as people fell on their faces, meditated, and were silent before God. Worship was also joyous, noisy, and exuberant. It was said of Israel, "The shout of the king is among them." When there was noise in the tabernacle, God's presence was there. When there was no noise, he was not present. Here are some biblical ways to worship the Lord. Giving to God. Repeatedly in the Old and New Testament records, giving of material resources was part of the regular service and considered an act of worship. When you face financial crisis, giving is a tremendous act of worship that ambushes the enemy's plot for financial ruin. Keeping silent before him. This silent attitude of reverence includes meditating on God and His word. Zechariah 2:13. Worshiping with your mouth. Science has proven that like fingerprints, each human voice has what is called a print. Your voice print, like your fingerprint, is different from all other voices. God knows your voice and waits to hear it lifted in praise to Him daily. You can speak praise, praise God in your prayer language, shout, and sing praises to God. How to reverse the curse. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Mark 3:27. The Greek word for spoil in this passage is diarpazo, which means to plunder, seize, or snatch away. The Greek word house is oikos, meaning dwelling place. The powerful enemy that Jehoshaphat faced was not just bound by God's people, but they were spoiled by a complete conquest. If you seek total victory in the circumstances you face, then binding the enemy is not enough. You must learn how to spoil his house. Satan thinks your house, your mate, your children, your finances belong to him. As the enemy threatened Jehoshaphat, Satan also threatens to steal, kill, and destroy what is yours. Simply binding the work of the enemy does not yield total victory, because if you let your guard down, he might get loose again. You must totally spoil his house. God told the prophet Jeremiah, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Jeremiah 1:10. Jeremiah was directed to put his spiritual axe at the root of evil and terminate its growth, and in doing so, destroy spiritual strongholds. A stronghold in any area where Satan has seized control, it may be addictive, destructive habits which you seem unable to conquer. It may be uncontrollable emotions of anger, rage, and bitterness. It may be a tendency toward violent, criminal behavior which has surfaced throughout successive generations in your family. These strongholds are passed on through what we call generational curses. Satan seizes control in one generation, and the curse is passed on to succeeding generations. The Bible reveals that the forces that determine all events in this world fall into two divisions, visible and invisible. Blessings and curses are invisible forces of spiritual power, which are transmitted by words because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. When you speak, you either speak a blessing or a curse, and the words you speak produce either good or harmful results. Most people readily accept the concept of blessing as valid and biblical, but are skeptical about this subject of curses. They think the word conjures up images of dark ages, witches, and voodoo dolls. But just as the opposite of good is evil, the opposite of blessings are curses. The word curse occurs about 230 times in the Bible. It means to speak evil over, pray against, or wish evil against a person or thing. Cursing is a pledge, oath, or commission that is devoted to destruction. The first occurrence of this word was when God cursed the serpent and the ground. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Genesis 3:14-17. These two curses in Genesis 3 contrast the two blessings spoken over man and the earth in Genesis 1:22-28. The Bible indicates that the curse causeless shall not come. Proverbs 26:2, meaning that behind every curse there is a spiritual cause. Deuteronomy 27:15-26. List moral and ethical sins that create spiritual breaches and open you up to strongholds of Satan. A summary of these include worshiping false gods, disrespect for your parents, all forms of oppression and injustice, all forms of illicit and unnatural sex, and rebellion against God's word. Other biblical references contribute to this list of sins that bring a curse. Galatians indicates that those preaching another gospel or apostasy will be cursed. Galatians 1:6-9. And Jeremiah notes that those who trust in flesh or works instead of God are cursed. Jeremiah 17:5. Robbing God of tithes and offerings brings a financial curse according to Zechariah 5:1-4, Haggai 1:4-6, and Malachi 3:8-9. Anti-Semitism is also dangerous spiritually because God promised the Jewish nation, "I will curse him that curses you." Genesis 12:2-3. Some curses are imposed on you by authority figures in your life. For example, a parent who told you you were stupid and you believed it. It is also possible to receive a curse of propensity towards certain physical conditions. When you confess that cancer, heart disease, or stroke run in your family, you are actually acknowledging that curse in your bloodline. You may also be under a curse because of involvement by your ancestors with witchcraft. Other curses are brought on by your own sinful conduct. Cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. Jeremiah 11:3. As you can see, curses are perpetuated through negative, hateful, bitter words that have the power to bring emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and even physical death. There are curses instilled by authority figures through their words or operate because of personal violation of God's word or sin. Curses also operate through strongholds established by Satan and your ancestors, which are passed down through generations. You may ask, When I accepted Jesus as Savior, weren't all of these curses broken over my life? When you are born again, you are forgiven of your past sins, and the shed blood of Jesus has the power to break every curse. As in the story of Jehoshaphat, however, Satan will return through bad reports and great multitudes to try to bring curses back on you. Like Israel, when you begin to praise God, the strongholds are broken and the curse is reversed upon the enemy, because the positive force of praising conquers the negative force of cursing. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and both you and your descendants may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. When you choose blessing and when you praise God, your worship literally spoils the enemy's house. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. 2 Chronicles 20:23-24. Do you want to disarm the enemy forces arrayed against you? Wouldn't you like to reverse every diabolical curse and stronghold that threatens and controls your life? Then begin to praise God. Don't wait until you see the hand of God moving and your victory is assured. Begin to praise Him, even while you hear the sound of advancing troops echoing across the desert plains of your life. Begin to sing in the face of adversity, when, like Jehoshaphat, you don't know what you're going to do about your circumstances. And don't be surprised when you get to the battlefield if all you can find is the disintegrating carcass of your problem. I pray this lesson will make you bold to finally take up your armor and go on the offense to break every curse over you and your family. Remember, all you have to do is to start praising the God who can and worshiping the God who will. We are coming to the end of this series. Next week will be our last teaching, but not to worry, because I will be starting a new series beginning the first week of January entitled Battle for the Body. This new teaching will go deeper into spiritual warfare and will bring together all we learned in this current series. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you, and may He keep you in all your ways. And may you have a great rest of your day.
Join Stacy next week as she continues the series, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. We are on Facebook, PodPoint, LTM Radio, LTBC, and LTM website. Harvest Time International Institute and Living Truth Bible College furnish all material. You can find helpful material like this and more by going to www.myltbc.org. Again, that's myltbc.org. If you enjoy Stacy's teachings, let her know. Or if you have questions concerning today's lesson, then send her an email. Her email address is stacy@ltm4christ.com. Again, that's stacy@ltm4christ.com. This broadcast is brought to you by Living Truth Ministries.